الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صلوات Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us, in other words, to fast in the month of Ramadan, and this fasting has been made a fariza upon us, just like it was a fariza on the earlier nations. And the purpose of the fasting is there is a hope that, well, this fasting actually is a prelude and muqaddima, a foreword towards becoming muttaqi and pious. Every ibadat and worship in Islam has a special status and position. But the position that the concept of taqwa enjoys in the knowledge of Islamic morality is unique. Taqwa is actually alam and symbol of all the spiritual fada'il and all the spiritual superior attributes. So we find when it comes to the prayers, it is considered to be Amududdin, the authentic hadith of the Prophet. You all know As-Salatu Amududdin, and that's the pillar of the religion. We have another hadith also from the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where he says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وِجْهَةٌ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَجْهٌ وَوَجْهُ دِينِكُمْ الصَّلَاةِ Everything, for everything there is a face. And the face of your religion is prayers. So religion, the face of religion Islam is Salat. The pillar of the religion is Salat. If somebody has to look towards the religion as a whole from outside, from the outer world, the prayers serves as our face, our ID tag to identify that this is the religion Islam. So the prayers signifies the religion Islam and distinguishes this religion from the rest. When it comes to the fasting, we have hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. where he has said, "As-sawmu junnatun minan nar," fasting is a shield from the fire. So when we fast, literally, not metaphorically, it protects us from the flames of the fire. So the same fastings that me and you, we are doing in the life of this world, as we will be crossing on the bridge of Sirat on the day of judgment, you know, which is crossing over the hellfire or through the hellfire, two different statements of our Mufassireen, you will find that the same fasting that you did here in the back then in the life of dunya will be literally serving as a shield and blocking away and shielding away the flames of the fire. So you will find the ta'wil of the sharia. Ta'wil, this is called the batin of ahkam. The ta'wil, the whole ta'wil of entire Quran will appear. Yawma ya'ti ta'wiluhu. Isn't that right? Quran says. So one of the 100+ names of the day of judgment is Yawmu ta'wil. That's the day when the batin of the Quran and the batin of the sharia would appear on those who could not see the batin back then in the life of dunya. Well, the urafa can see the batin of a lot of things, but those, you know, ignorant people like me who were unable to see the batin of the things will also be able to witness the batin and the reality, hidden reality on that day. So, and not just on the bridge of Sirat, that's way too far. Bridge of Sirat is a very farther station for the humans standing in the field of the day of judgment. Even way before we reach that level, when we are laid into our graves, we will witness how the noor of fasting, which will be on the left hand side of the person. See, remember, the noor of prayers is on the right hand side and the noor of fasting is on the left hand side in the grave of every mu'min. How from the left hand side you find the flames of the hellfire will be shielded away from you by the noor of your salat, your psalm, noor of your fasting that will accompany you, enter with you inside your grave. So it's not a metaphorical, emotional, encouraging teachings of Islam that we are saying it just like a candy to the kid to please the people and encourage them to worship Allah. No, we don't have no metaphorical things going on in Islam. Islam is a religion of concrete realities, on the ground facts. So these are real issues when fasting really is a shield. We don't see the shield. Those who are able to see the realities can see it even today. Let's move on to zakat. In so many places when Allah mentions the prayers, you find zakat is mentioned next to it. Yuqimuna salata wa yu'tuna zakata. Yuqimuna salata wa yu'tuna zakata. Isn't that right? So iqamatu salat and ita'u zakat. That means stalling the prayers and giving away the zakat and Islamic texts. That's mentioned next to each other. Well, obviously there are reasons why Allah is mentioning zakat next to the salat. And obviously our Mufassireen have mentioned that one of the ihtimal and one of the reasons is that prayers is not accepted by Allah from any person unless and until his zakat is complete. Zakat in Islam, literally speaking, means in the literal meaning of the word, all the taxes. Your khums, your zakat, your fitrah, all the wajib taxes of Islam, unless and until a person has fulfilled his wajib taxes. Well, we don't live in the villages, so we don't have to pay the zakat, which is levied on 9 things in Islam. Al-Ghallatul Arba'a, 4 kinds of grains. Al-An'am al-Salasa, 3 kinds of cattle, animals. And gold and silver in the coins, in the form of coins. Well, we don't have those in the cities usually. So that's why scholars don't talk about zakat in the cities. Those of the ulama who visit the villages, they talk about zakat instead of talking about the khums. So here we talk about khums. But zakat, literally speaking in Arabic, includes taxes. So all the taxes, all the wajib taxes are part of the concept. So if the wajib taxes are paid, as long as you did not pay your khums, Forget about your prayers accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way your prayers can be accepted. No way, period. Allah is mentioning zakat next to the mention of iqamatul salat in the ayat of Quran. So acceptance of our prayers is impossible unless the Islamic taxes are cleared up. Not just the money gets cleaned, but our souls get cleaned from the biggest najasat, which is love of money and love of dunya. So when it comes to zakat, let's see what the Prophet has said, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. He says that az-zakatu tuzhibu az-zunub. That's the ID of zakat. That's the identification tag. So zakat removes your sins. So if you pay your Islamic taxes, your sins will be removed. Az-zakatu tuzhibu az-zunub. Now let's move on to jihad. Jihad is considered to be dhurwatu sanamihi. That means there's the, you know, sanam in Arabic means the hoof, the back of the camel. So that's the peak, the peak of the climax of Islam. Let me say it like this. Dhurwatu sanamihi, will we understand in the light of that hadith, this is the peak of the climax. Not only the peak, that means the highest possible summit of Islam is jihad. That's where Islam is at the highest spot. So that's the mountain and summit of the greatness of Islam is jihad. So those who perform jihad are the ones who are considered to be superior in the eyes of Quran over those who choose to stay sitting in the convenience of their homes. In some of the cases, those people who keep on sitting, ignoring their divine duty, are actually getting out of the hudud and limits of Islam. So, Faddalallahu, Quran says, Faddalallahu al-mujahideena ala al-qa'ideena ajran azeema. Allah gave a lot of, a great reward, and mujahideen have a fadilat over those who are sitting. Now this is about jihad, and also in the khutbah of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, that she delivered in the darbar of the Taghut, she mentions some of the very fundamental ahkam of Islam and their wisdoms, and in the list of the wisdoms that she counted in her sermon, she mentions when it comes to jihad, she says, izzan lil Islam. So jihad is for the sake of the dignity of Islam. So the whole religion Islam, its izzat and dignity depends on the jihad. If you don't do the jihad for the sake of Allah fi sabilillah, then this kind of Islam that community will be practicing is Islam of zillat and Islam of humiliation. Any community, any country, any nation that does not have the concept of jihad, well, those who don't believe in Islam, they're also doing jihad, isn't it right? So وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Isn't it right? Those who believe, they fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who don't believe in God, they're also fighting. They also send their armies. Some of the nations have their armies in 135 countries. Some of the nations have been bullying in 135 countries in the name of their national interests. What have your national interests to do beyond your own borders? That's called bullying. Isn't that right? So they're also doing jihad. But they're doing jihad for the sake of tahut, fi sabili tahut. So jihad is something which is common by all, done by all the nations. Well, some do the jihad for their bullying reasons, and some other do jihad for the sake of the Creator. So jihad is something done by almost every nation. And those of the nations who don't do it, they are the most humiliated ones as well. Yeah. I remember in one of the incidents in one of these Arabic puppet kingdoms in the Persian Gulf region, one nation had occupied some segment of the territory of another, and this nation had paid paid the money instead of, defending its land, they paid the money to get their land back. So that kind of humiliation and insult exists in some of those puppet regimes who have no izzat and sharaf. So Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has said, وَمَا أَعْمَالُ الْبِرِّ كُلُّهَا وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So we are done with jihad. Now let's move forward towards the next ruling of Islam, which is Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar. One of the very significant of our rulings. We did discuss Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar in elaborate details for those of the brothers who participate in our Wednesday fiqh classes. For several weeks we discussed so much rulings and conditions of that beautiful Islamic teaching, although all the teachings are equally beautiful. So Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy Munkar are really interesting teachings of Islam. So وَمَا أَعْمَالُ الْبِرِّ, Imam Ali says, وَمَا أَعْمَالُ الْبِرِّ كُلُّهَا وَالْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ الْأَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ إِلَّا كَنَفْسَةٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّيٍ. That means that all the good deeds and the jihad fi sabilillah combined together compared to words Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, bidding the good and forbidding the bad, all the good deeds of Islam plus jihad combined together, and then you compare this with Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, it was just like the water in your mouth as compared to the water in the ocean. Now you understand the greatness of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar. So we have been talking so much highly about jihad moments ago, isn't that right? Now let's move forward to Amr bil Ma'ruf, which is even higher than jihad, biha tuqamul fara'id. The hadith says all the fara'id, in other words all the duties of Islam, are installed because of these two. The whole religion survives because of Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. So this is the status of Amr and Nahi in Islam. One of the reasons why Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi had this great Nuraniyat. We respect all the Maraji. It's wajib to respect all our Maraji. They're all great personalities, isn't it right? It's wajib to respect all our ulama, al-udul, al-salihun, all the great scholars. They are all ha'ula'i ulama'una. They are great personalities. Isn't it right? But the nuraniyat and haybat that people used to shiver in front of him, how does that come from? This comes from the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar that he performed in ways that very few people have performed. This comes out because of the jihad that he did fi sabilillah in ways that very few people have done in those ways. So this is about Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy anil Munkar. Now let's move towards taqwa. Now let's move forward back towards taqwa. Well, taqwa, by all those list of important aspects of various rulings that we discussed, but we find there is no single mujtahid in the history of marji'iyat who has ever given the fatwa that when you lead the Jumu'ah prayers or the Eid prayers, and you are delivering the sermons, it is not wajib to talk about salat in any of your sermon. It is not wajib to talk about saum in any of your sermons. It's not wajib to talk about, you know, jihad in any of your sermons. It's not wajib to talk about amr bil maruf in any of your sermons. But what is wajib to talk about in at least one khutbah, if not both, is the wasiyat, is the advice of taqwa to the masses. So that is the only fazilat, the only spiritual attribute in the Islamic morality which is wajib to be discussed in at least one, if not both, of the sermons of Jum'ah prayers and also the Eid prayers. And the reason my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, was saying the reason behind this specific ruling in the Sharia about taqwa only can be found in the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, where he has said, in Nahjul Balagha that at-tuqa ra'isul akhlaq, as taqwa is the chief of all the morals. So if you talk about taqwa, actually you're not leaving none of the Islamic moralities behind. You are including every moral attribute in it. So that's the secret why taqwa has to be mentioned, my teacher said, in the sermon of the Jum'ah or the Eid prayers. So wasiyat and advice towards taqwa is actually advice towards all the wajibat of Islam and advice towards abstaining from all the harams and muharramat of Islam. When Imam Ali alayhi salam appointed Shurayh ibn Hani for the as the commander, he instead of advising him about sabr and shuja'at and shahamat and matanat and istiqamat and wiqar and insaf and adl and so on and so forth, the list of Islamic value system, huge list of Islamic values, divine values, instead of mentioning the whole list, Imam Ali alayhi salam just said one thing to him, and that one thing was, if you turn to the letter number 56 in Nahjul Balagha, he said ittaqillaha fi kulli sabahin wa masa. That means have taqwa of Allah in every morning and evening. So the word taqwa includes all the divine values without leaving none of them. So this is about the taqwa, but we should always keep in mind that the key to every Islamic value is something else other than taqwa. And that something else is even more superior than taqwa. We are not there yet. That's not the end of the Islamic teachings. So when Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said to Zurara, said to his one of the all-time greatest companions in the history of Ahlul Bayt, Zurara ibn A'yan, who was a faqih and one of the most mu'assaq, one of the most mu'tamad, he is considered to be part of as-sabiqoon, ula'ik al-muqarrabun. Zurara is not an ordinary person. So they were 11 people of his family. We call them in Ilmur Rijal, we call them Alul A'yan, and all of them were siqa, and their narrations are mu'tabar. But Zurara and his brother Suma'a ibn A'yan are the greatest in this, you know. So Zurara is considered to be one of the highest level ashab of Ahlul Bayt throughout the history. So Imam al-Baqir al-Islam is talking to Zurara, and he said that Buni al-Islamu ala khamsin, Islam is founded on five: as-salati, wa-zakati, was-siyami, wal-hajji, wal-walaya. Islam is founded on five: on prayers, on fasting, on Islamic taxes, and hajj, and the walayat means government of Ahlul Bayt, hukumat. So then Zurara says, which one of these five are the most superior among the rest? And that's where Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said that al-walayatu afdal li'annaha miftahuhunna. Walayat is afdal, that means that is the most superior, because that's the key to all those. So the prayers are not considered to be prayers by Allah. The fasting is not valid at all in the eyes to be accepted by Allah. The khums and fitrah and zakat has zero value, you know, has no value at all in the eyes of Allah. The hajj doesn't stand no value in the eyes of Allah. And, you know, and likewise the fasting, unless and until a person completes all these ibadat through the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. So now the next discussion, as we are talking about taqwa in these nights of Ramadan, because taqwa is the hadaf and goal that we are all pursuing, the next discussion is about the maratib and levels. All the fada'il in Islamic moral value system has darajat and maratib and levels. And taqwa is no different. In the simplest description, because we cannot talk in all the details, inshallah, like I have said in one of my earlier speeches, if Allah gives us the opportunity and tawfiq, inshallah, we can talk about the khutbah of Hammam of Amir Mumni alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, where he elaborately talks about taqwa. Inshallah, some other time we can talk in detail. But in a summarized way, the levels of taqwa in Islamic morality are three. The first is called the level of which is called, you know, Aam, and the second one is called Khas, and the third one is what is called Ahas. So the level Aam of taqwa, the general taqwa, is, it means that a person who abstains from all the harams and performs all the wajibat. That's the general concept, general basic level of taqwa. It's taqwa 101. You abstain from the harams and you perform all the wajibs. But then the next level of taqwa, which is khas, is the one that stands for ijtinab and keeping away and abstaining from the mushtabahat. That means things that are confusing upon you. You're unsure whether it is haram. You don't even know it's halal. You don't know it's haram. You're unsure about it. Well, obviously, kullu shayin halal hatta ta'lam annahu haram. According to the hadith of Imam Sadiq al-Islam, everything is halal until you get to know that it is haram. That's true. But then, if you follow that level, then you will be having the basic taqwa, the regular level of taqwa, which is aam, not the level of taqwa, which is called khas. So that daraja will be achieved only if you start abstaining from the mushtabahat, the confused things as well. This is a higher level of ihtiyat, you know. Akhuka dinuk fahtat li dinik. The hadith says, religion your religion is your brother. So do ihtiyat and do precaution for your brother. The third level of taqwa is what we call ahas, and that stands for the level where a person who is muttaqi also abstains, in addition to the harams and muharramat, in addition to the mushtabahat and confused things, he also abstains from the mubahat. That means the permissible things of Islam. Mubah things can be, you know, are those of the things which are okay to do and okay not to do in Islam. That's mubah. But if you abstain from even those things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which actually means, mubah examples are like eating and drinking and fast and sleeping and walking and talking, all these are mubah things, isn't it right? So now, if you eat the food, if you drink, if you sleep, if you talk to people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qurbatan ilallah, and obviously to seek His nearness. So if you eat the food with the niyat that I get strong, my body and my soul becomes stronger so that I can serve Allah. So the same eating of the food will no longer be mubah in your case. It will convert into mustahab for you, because you are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? So that's what our urafa do. Our urafa they don't perform anything in their life other than a wajib and a mustahab, period. And they never perform any haram, obviously, and they never do any makruh, obviously, and they also never do any mubah in their lives. So this is which is called taqwa of the level of akhas, the special level which is called akhas. How much time do we have remaining, Brother Rida? 5 more minutes. Okay, please say salawat. Now, I think we can finish this in the 5 more minutes, inshallah. Well, also our scholars have classified the taqwa into two from a different perspective. One classification of taqwa is positive, and the other classification is the negative taqwa, musbat and manfi. Some of the people have positive taqwa in their spirituality, and some others are muttaqi with the negative taqwa. But negative taqwa is good, but it's not appreciated. It's not mamduh, it's hasan, it's good, but it's not mamduh, it's not appreciated. So you're not doing a great job, you're just doing okay, that's good. So that's called the negative taqwa. And what's the difference between manfi, the negative taqwa, and the positive taqwa in Islamic science of Islamic morality? So the negative taqwa means that if a person abstains away from the people, from the society, from the community, so that he can avoid the harams. Anyone who keeps away from the people, keeps away from the community, keeps away from the society, so that he may avoid the harams that he may fall into during the interactions. This kind of person, the taqwa that he has, the science of Islamic morality calls it the manfi and negative taqwa. Whereas the positive taqwa, our scholars of akhlaq say, belongs to the person who lives inside the society, in the mainstream, mingles with the community, mixes up with them, interacts with them, and then protects his spirituality. This is what is called the positive taqwa in Islamic morality. Now, what is the difference? Well, at the end of the day, the person is doing good. He is not doing a bad thing. Isn't that right? He wants to protect himself. That's why he's avoiding the interactions of the people in the society. The difference, our scholars say, is that the person having the negative taqwa in his life, actually, his policy translates into the fact that whatever wrongs exist in the society, let it be. Let it go. I don't care. I'm not here to change it. I'm not supposed to make no change. I'm not the one who should be guiding the rest. That's exactly what his policy translates into. So Hidayatul Umum, providing guidance to the people, is not part of his plan. Helping out to those who need your help, when you don't interact, how would you discover? So many people who need your help will not even come towards you to tell you, and you may never discover about their needs, so you will never end up helping them, when helping the Mu'mineen is superior than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Isn't that right? We have authentic narrations that inform us that qada'u hajatil mu'min is considered to be so high in the eyes of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you know. And you know, like the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam equals to 90 hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 90 hajj. But the only thing in the entire Sharia which is superior, the only thing in the entire Sharia which is superior than the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, in the Shariat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, the most superior thing, more than his own ziyarat, is helping a mu'min person in the hour of need. So person who is exercising the negative taqwa will be mahroom and deprived of the most superior mustahab thing of the Sharia. That's another apart from the Hidayatul Umum, which I already mentioned, he will not be able to guide the people. That's another khair which he will be mahroom and deprived. Obviously, those of the people who have the positive taqwa, that means they stay in the mainstream and they guide the people and they help the mu'mineen and they battle the inhiraf, the deviations, and they do the amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, because they are witnessing the munkar in the society and they don't ignore it, and they are witnessing tarkul wajib, leaving of the wajib in the society, and they do the amr. That's how the nuraniyat and spiritual illumination with the divine light that they achieve is unthinkable and unparalleled and uncomparable and unsurpassable by those of the people who are exercising the manfi and negative taqwa, sitting in their, you know, in their own places or in the monasteries or their own secluded mansions where they do not interact. Well, we don't find any of the prophets of God throughout the history, or any of their awsiya, deputies, or our own holy prophet and the imams, any of them, none of them had that policy. Instead, their policy was exactly the opposite, living in the mainstream and battling all those things and providing the guidance and helping out the mu'mineen and battling the inhiraf and deviation and performing amr and nahi. So this is the reason, one of the reasons about their highest level of nuraniyat, because they did the amr bil ma'ruf of the highest level and they did the nahi anil munkar of the highest level and they provided the hidayat of the highest level and they helped out the mu'mineen to the highest possible levels. That's why their nuraniyat deserves to be the highest in Islam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin. واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم حك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.